Tonight, we're going to continue with the topic and the little series we're doing called Decisions, Decisions. And how many of you have ever had decisions that were difficult? Anybody? Oh, well, okay, I'm among friends. And as believers, you know, we trust the Lord to give us direction. And I spent a little bit of time last week talking about Psalm 23 because that gives us an indication of the atmosphere that the Lord wants to have with us so that he can lead us along and through all the phases of life. And I can't go back there tonight, but I really believe that we ought to meditate on that a little bit more often than we do. But I gave you a couple of points last week. Let me rehearse those back to you before we move on. This is kind of a checklist, if you will, as to how we can process decisions. And please understand that when I'm giving you this checklist, this is not a legalistic thing. This is just a relational thing. Anytime we depart from relationship with Jesus and get into methodologies, it can get very dry and very confusing and really not what it's intended to be. And so please understand that our relationship with Jesus has to be on key before any of this makes much sense. So the Holy Spirit inside of us is leading us. And so the process we go through, because here's the deal. We have a will. That is the gift of God to humankind. It's unique. Animals don't have a will, but mankind was given a will to choose this or choose that. And so we have to submit our will to the Lord Jesus and to the anointing of the Holy Spirit to literally drive our thoughts and help us understand and even desire what God wants for us. And so it's very key that we understand that this is very relational, but the Holy Spirit inside of us as a believer is making it possible for us to have this relationship. And so these points then are guidelines. They're just kind of places that you want to make sure you're passing through in your prayer life and in your study life and in your obedience life. So the first one, the first point we made was ask for wisdom. The scripture says in James 1:5, if any man lacks wisdom, and for most of us, when we get into a place where we're having to decide, we don't just want information. We want wisdom. Wisdom is what God would do if he were you in that situation. And so wisdom is something, he says, he will give it to us and he will not upbraid, as King James said, but that means literally make us feel ashamed for asking. He will never make you feel ashamed for asking. And he says, furthermore, if you ask, believe that you receive it. Believe you receive it. If you're asking God for wisdom, believe you're receiving it. And then go after it. Read your word. Meditate in the word of God. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the will of God to you, because the will of God belongs to the children of God. He says, my sheep hear my voice. They know me and they follow me. So when we pray that prayer, we don't pray it thinking, I just hope that happens. You know, maybe it will, maybe. No. If you're asking God according to that promise in the Word of God, you just need to know he is going to do his part. And guess what? He's not going to make it hard to figure out. Some people, I'm reminded of a story I heard, and it was associated possibly with Alexander the Great. I'm not sure. But anyway, he'd become a believer, and he was praying for the destiny in his life, and he was looking up in the sky, and there were some clouds that were kind of forming, and it looked like in our vernacular, G, P, and C. And he said, oh, it's go preach Christ. Somebody said, no, I'm pretty sure it's go plow corn. You know, God's not in the position of trying to make it mysterious, and we got to figure out weird stuff. And if a white dove flies across in front of us, oh, that must be the... No. God knows how to communicate to you on your level. Don't get caught up in the weird stuff. God's not trying to make it difficult. And sometimes I know when we're trying to seek the face of God and we're trying to understand what the Lord is saying to us, it's not coming through. Well, if it's not coming through, keep asking for wisdom, keep reading the word, and keep asking God to speak to your spirit in a way you can understand it. Don't try and interpret things on your own. That's the thing. I've made more mistakes that way. I'd heard a little bit from God, and then I'm getting into, wow, you know, I wonder how that really means, and maybe it's this, and no, 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 and no. No. Don't go there, because you're getting into the flesh, and you're getting into all kind of places where you're listening to every little voice and every little thing and every little circumstance. Ask God. Make it clear. I remember probably one of the most critical moments in my life. The Lord spoke to me shortly after I was born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. And I was in school, and one day the Spirit of God came upon me in a second level chemistry class, and it has to be God. I mean, I literally felt like I was lifted out of my body. It was that strong. And the Lord spoke two verses of scripture to me, and I knew something was happening, but I, of course, couldn't identify it at that point. And I remember leaving the class that day and getting a good Christian brother of mine, and we went over to the church that we attended there in Russellville, and I remember going into the prayer room. I knelt on one end of the bench, and he knelt on the other end of the prayer bench, and I remember kneeling down there. I had real long hair, and I had a jean jacket on, and I knelt down on the end of that bench, and I said, Lord, I know you're trying to speak to me, but I'm new to this, but I really want to know what you're saying, and I just ask you not to let me hear any other voice but yours. It's okay to say that. I still say that, and I had a vision. I'd never had a vision in my life, and I literally saw myself kneeling there, and I saw an angel come and cover me like this. And at that moment, the Lord said, arise and go to San Jose. There'll be people with money to contribute. What? But I knew it. I mean, something inside me leapt. It sounded so calm. It sounded so real. And I said, well, Lord, you're going to have to confirm that to me. Let me see it in print, and let me see San Jose, and I don't even know where it is. And as soon as I said, I don't even know where it is, I remembered this song that I think it was Nancy Sinatra or somebody used to sing. And it went, I'm on my way to San Jose. And I said, Lord, please let me see San Jose and Jesus in print for the next while. And literally, my brother on the end, Barry, the guy that led me to the Lord, looks up at me. He didn't hear any of that, of course. He looks up at me and says, Gary, I believe God wants you to go to California. And I'm going, whoa, that's just what the Lord said to me. See, he's not hampered in getting to us. And on top of that, we walked out of that little church on the backside of a little dinky town in Arkansas where we were going to school. And turning around in that little church's parking lot on the back road street was a bus that had San Jose on the marquee. And for the next month and a half, I couldn't hardly pick up anything in print that didn't have San Jose and Jesus in it somewhere. I'm serious. Why did that happen? Because I was dense. I was new to this, and the Lord wanted me to know early on, if I'm directing you, I will get you the information that you need to know so that you can make a proper decision. And that was just the beginning. I don't have time to tell that story again. I've told it before, but I'm telling you, folks, the miracles that God worked and all of that kind of thing, just for that one segment of my life. But I learned something there. If the Lord is speaking to me, I do not have to make anything up. I don't. He's the author and the finisher of things. And so I want to infuse that into you, because so many people think, I don't really know how to hear from God. If you're born again, if the Spirit of God is living inside of you, you have every tool you need to hear from God. And one of the things you have to do to be faithful to that process is to get familiar with what he's already said. Because what he says in the future will always be predicated on the principles that are right here in this book. We don't want to become experts on hearing voices unless we know the voice. Same spirit. You'll recognize the same spirit. And so it's so important that we do that. So here we go. Ask for wisdom. If any one of you lacks it, ask of God. He gives to all men liberally, not just, he's not chintzy. He gives it liberally. So imagine this, it's coming. Know that it's coming because he's promised it. On top of that, the whole Bible is a treasure house of wisdom. And God works according to principles that are timeless that he has given to us. They're spoken by the Spirit of God to prophets of old, and they belong to the church of Jesus Christ. His kids can glean to. It's amazing. You may be reading along, and you're not even thinking about your issue. And all of a sudden, you read something, and it just almost jumps out of the print at you, and you can know that's the Lord. And these things come, and they begin to confirm direction. It's like breadcrumbs on a trail. You know, you can tell where he's going. And it's so important that we do that. Number 2 point, gather the facts related to the decision at hand. Proverbs 13:13 through 16. This starts with God's words related to the situation at hand. And here's the deal. It is important to know what you know, and it's important to know what you don't know. A lot of people, they don't want to be confused by the facts. Well, if you don't know the facts, you will be confused. Let me read it to you. Verse 13 through 16. He who despises the word will be destroyed, but he who fears the commandment will be rewarded. The law of the wise is a fountain of life, to turn away one from the snares of death. Good understanding gains favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard. Every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool lays open his folly. I have lived long enough to see people that feel they've heard something from God and they ignore every other factor involved in that decision, and usually they fall on hard times. If God speaks to you tonight and says, go to India, don't buy a ticket in the morning. Ask for confirmation. In the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, every word should be established. And not only that, God works a lot of things out, and we'll go into that here in just a few moments. But understand that when he begins to speak like that, he's going to begin to build that understanding and that desire inside of you. And it's an exciting process. You don't want to miss the process. And the process builds faith. And so it's so important that we let God do the thing his way. Don't assume that you know enough. Look into your options. Natural realities do matter. Now, a lot of people, when they're making decisions, make a list, pro and con. If I do this, this is going to happen. This is positive. If I do this, here are the negatives involved in that. You know, that really isn't a godly method necessarily, but it's a natural response, and there's nothing wrong with that. Because here's the thing. Even if the cons outweigh the pros, that doesn't mean God's not in it. He's not afraid of that. Sometimes he lets you, but it's good for you to acknowledge these things exist. And then if God continues to lead you and guide you, you're going to see him solve those problems, and that also builds faith. So don't be afraid to be rational, especially in the beginning. Be very rational in the beginning, because you're going to deal with those realities. And that's just the way that life works. You're going to deal with them. But if God's speaking to you and he says, don't worry about those, we got that, that's fine. But you need to at least acknowledge them. Don't fall into the trap of only considering the facts which support your desires. Here's the thing. You and I are three-part beings, body, soul, and spirit. And there are realms that deal with those three arenas and temptation and drives, okay? The lust of the flesh includes all kinds of things that our flesh wants. Could be anything from food to sex and anything in between. And so there is plenty of ground in that area right there where we can be tempted and be following feelings that are associated with a lust. Lust of the eyes. Lust of the eyes can be a situation where I can lust after something or someone. I can desire that, and part of my being is fired up about that. And I may have envy. I may have all kind of things that are driving my decisions. I've seen problems in church a lot of times and in business a lot of times because people envy other people, their positions, their status, or whatever it might be. And they begin subconsciously then to move into sin and often say, God's leading me. So you have to go to the scripture and say, Is that emotion healthy? Is that emotion godly? Would Jesus do that if he were me? Or would I want to be doing this when Jesus returns? That solves a whole bunch of arguments right there. And so we need to understand that there's a lot of things that can divert us or even deceive us into thinking God's leading something because we're so used to going with our feelings. Feelings and truth are most times different. Feelings are born on earth. What's born of the flesh is flesh. Now, we can bring those things under the lordship of Christ effectively, but it is not a natural process. We have to do it by will. And so, if we don't know it's an issue, we probably won't. Third point. We're kind of new ground here. Seek counsel from wise, experienced individuals. Proverbs 15:22 and 24:6 are good verses that go along with that. If you've got the scripture there in front of you, let's read those. 15:22 says, without counsel, plans go awry, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. I might add that you're not establishing it by taking a poll. But when you begin to speak to people, even if some of them have cockeyed ideas, and the more people you speak to, the more of those you're going to get. Not everybody's opinion was created equal. What you'll learn is some things people say seem like, what are they talking about? And then somebody will say a simple thing and it goes boom. It just poof. And then you go and you talk with somebody else you trust and they say a few bunch of things and then pretty soon they hit the same thing and boom. There's two people that have said the same thing and it hit me like a ton of bricks. It felt right. I've read the scriptures enough, I've prayed enough, and my spirit, I'm opening my heart to God, and boy, there's two people now that have come from different angles, maybe even different points of discussion, and brought something, and just, boom, wow, it has weight. You know, we talk about the glory of God, and one of the main words that it is in the Old Testament is kabod, which means weight. When God speaks, there is a weight, there's a resonance to it, there's a feeling, a sense, a power in that thing that comes like a voice that you recognize. If you're walking in the Spirit, if you're filling your heart with God's Word, you will know that voice. And it can come through any number of ways. God can use all kinds of different things. And I could give you story after story, but for time's sake, I won't. But I'm just saying, don't just limit the way God can speak. And he may speak. I've had him speak to me through people that weren't even Christians. Situations that have happened and road signs from time to time happened way back in the day. I mean, that's weird, but that did happen. Chapter 24, 6 says, by wise counsel you will wage your war, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety. The people you talk to ideally would be those who know you well, those who are known to be godly and candid, with insightful questions and gifts of discernment. It's also valuable to counsel with others who have been through situations or decisions like the one you were facing, whether they were successful or unsuccessful. Some of the best lessons you'll ever learn is listening to somebody that blew it. If they can tell you why they blew it, maybe you can learn something that you won't have to experience personally. I would much rather learn from your boneheaded mistakes than to be the author of my own. And see, when you listen to folks, you want to find some people. My grandfather used to say, you need to listen to folks that have been to a couple of county fairs and a hog calling or two. I don't know what that meant, but it sounded good. But, you know, some people get into things and they get ideas. They've never tried them out. They just have ideas that they read in somebody's book or saw it on the TV from some preacher somewhere. And they think, well, that's just it. Yeah, I've got the word for you. Well, you may or you may not. But it's good to try things. It's good to figure out if it works before you give that advice. I always think about David when Saul was trying to give him his armor, and he says, I haven't tried these. I don't know if this works for me or not. This is a big deal here. I'm going out for a 9-foot giant with a spear of the size of a weaver's beam and a 30-pound head on the thing, and I think I really need to know if this works for me or not. So sometimes advice that's free is cheap. Sometimes it's well considered because somebody's walked that out. And you can learn a lot by people that have been successful. You can learn a ton also from people that have not been successful. So seek people wherever possible who have been through a situation like yours or a season of seeking God like you're going through. And you will find that there's a treasure trove of information there that you don't have to be the intimate that has discovered personally how that works. So you can listen to people like that. Three sources of potential counselors for you right quick. Number one, family and closest friends. These are the people more than likely that know you best. They can give you an honest assessment of your personality and your tendencies. Now, this can be valuable. You know, we don't want to hear, pardon me, I had a head cold today and I can't hardly work here. But the thing of it is, people that know you really well can see your tendencies. If you are impulsive, they can say, you know, you might want to woe up a little bit. Remember when you did that thing? Or you've always been hard-headed. You always think you know more than anybody else. Now, you won't feel the anointing when you hear that. I'll tell you that right now. But it just could be you might want to listen, because you have a tendency to get something locked in your head and then you begin to interpret every situation in life to prove to you you're right. Just say, ouch, that's okay. Because we can be that way, can't we? When we want something, it's amazing. It is amazing when your mind locks in on something that you need, want, or desire, how you begin to formulate rationale to prove to you that you should in fact do that. It's crazy like that. For instance, you may not have looked at a tire ad for 10 years. But if you walk out in the parking lot tonight and see you've got a big egg on the side of your tire, it's bulged out there, I will guess that you will probably go home and consult some tire ads. Or you'll be driving down the road and you'll see a tire shop you've never seen before because you are alerted to it subconsciously. I need a tire. I want a tire. You start looking at a car you'd like to have, and everywhere you go, you see them. Just waiting for you. That's the way we do. And so now they've learned that, and your computer reminds you of it. Yeah. And so I'm just saying we're wired that way. So be aware of that and let your family, let your friends that are closest to you poke holes in your theory. Here's the deal. You may not like it at the moment, but if it's God, they can't kill it. They can't kill it. Even if they postpone it for 30 minutes, they can't kill it. And it's a good thing to be able to back off emotionally and say, well, maybe I am going down a bad road here. So it's a good thing. Secondly, people you trust, wise, experienced in similar or relevant situations as we talked about. Thirdly, believe it or not, pastors and elders. You may not need all these layers, but what have you got to lose? Don't just talk to people that agree with you. Don't just talk to people that just say amen over your plans. If they love you, they're going to help you make a good decision. It's okay. And I want to reiterate this. People's opinions or even moments of doubt in you don't stop God's will. I promise you, if he said it once, he'll say it again. And when you hear it again, after having doubted, it starts to cement something deep inside of you, and you begin to have more faith. Because somebody changed your mind, but they couldn't change your spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? They either confirmed what you had, or they caused you to doubt, and if you doubted and you really couldn't get back to where you were before, you must understand that either wasn't God or it's not for right now. Either way, it's fine. The will of God is the best option you've got. Whether it's to no or a yes, it's still the best option for you. And if you choose something other than the will of God, you'll wish you'd choose the will of God. Bottom line. Jesus was a big believer in that. He says, I don't even say anything I don't hear my Father say. And I can't do anything that I don't see my Father doing. Now, if that was the case for Jesus, the Son of God, the creator of the earth and all the universe, I think it's probably a good plan for me. I need to know what he thinks. I need to know what he says. And I need to trust him to use, even Balaam had this donkey. And he's messing up big time. So God touches the donkey and rebukes him. Now, you may have friends that would qualify. It'd be all right if God touches them and they rebuke you. It's okay. Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. If you really want wisdom, listen when people push back against what you want to do. But consider their view and test it with other trusted people. Here's another thing about trusted people. There are a lot of trusted people that are close to us that don't want us to do the will of God if it costs them something. Let this just say, if you're a mama tonight and your child comes to you and says, I think God's calling me to Iran. You get on the phone and you call a counselor right quick. Because that scares you. Or you're close to somebody, just a friend. And that friend says, you know, I really believe the Lord's leading me to go to work at a different place. We work together. You know, I'm gonna miss you, but I'm sure the Lord is leading me to take this other job. And that other person says, well, no, the Lord spoke to me just now. That's not to happen. Now, they might not be that open with it. How many of you know that because we have that desire to maintain the sameness and our position with you or whatever it might be, that it would be hard for me to say, wow, that's going to hurt, but man, that's awesome. One thing I learned for sure is the will of God for me is also the will of God for you. The will of God for you, it's the will of God for me. He's not playing favorites. It's not the will of God is good for you, but it's horrible for me. It's just, you know. No. God's playing chess on so many levels, he can make it work that way. You know, it's not that simple that it's good for you, Scott, but it's really a bummer for me, man. No. If I lose you from my circle of close friends and you go to be blessed, guess what? It's okay. Because God's going to do something in my life that will fill that niche or cause me to grow in a way that maybe I'm too dependent on you. And God's taken away my pacifier. Ooh. Ouch. Maybe. Let's go on, shall we? Number four. Objectively assess the costs and issues presented by the options you are considering. Proverbs 20 and 25 said, "It is a snare for a man to devote rashly something as holy and afterwards reconsider his vow." Point here is this, that when we, you know, in an innocent way maybe or too quick, make a vow to God, "God, I will do this and I'm going and it doesn't matter what happens, all I need is you," and all it sounds really good. But when you get there and it doesn't work out like you thought it was going to work out, you're going to quit. Or you get excited when the building campaign comes along and you play, "I'm going to give $500,000. But you'd only make $37,000 a year. You were excited. You vowed foolishly. Unless you're playing the lottery or something, which, of course, Christians don't do. I heard about the Fundamental Baptist preacher's wife that won the $500,000 lottery one time. You know, I couldn't admit it to anybody. Couldn't spend any of the money either. So it was pretty rough. I guess she backslid on purpose so she could go spend the money. I don't know what happened there, but anyway. Luke 14 talks about this story where if you're going to build a tower, you want to count the cost of that tower before you get it halfway up and figure you can't fix it or finish it. Or you're going out with 10,000 soldiers to meet an enemy that has 20,000. You might want to consider suing for peace. You might want to consider negotiating a peace treaty rather than going with half as many soldiers as the other guy has. These are just kind of things that we need to take note of in life when we're feeling that we're supposed to do something. It's okay. God gave you a brain for a reason. It's the greatest computer in the world. He gave it to you so that you could assess the threat, the situation, the cost, and all the rest of that. Again, it may be huge, but you should at least acknowledge that it's huge so the Lord builds your faith in certain ways so that you can accomplish that thing, so that you can go for that thing without being disillusioned and freaked out when you get to it. You got to acknowledge it. And you don't have to worship it, but you do need to acknowledge it. Let's talk about this for a minute. This is an obvious step, and we desire that to overlook it when our excitement or our zeal are pushing us toward a predetermined conclusion. Difficult issues are not to be viewed as deal killers, but should be part of the equation in determining God's plan. Sometimes we have to deal with those obstacles in rational ways. Sometimes we, just need to realize I don't have the wherewithal to do that. God's going to have to change some things around me before I can go forward. And let's look at number 5 here. It says, anticipate possible obstacles. Proverbs 22:3. Let's read that right quick. 22:3 says, "A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished, or suffer the consequences," is a better translation there. So it's okay for us to literally look at the thing and say, this is something I need to deal with. For instance, we had this situation here at the church one time in 2006 and 2007. We had drawn plans to build a $6 million facility. And we'd been debt-free for a long time, and we were doing well and all of that. We needed more space. We drew the plans, and we considered them decent and good, and we were going ahead with it. And so we went through a meeting, and we had to get a fundraiser in here to help us, and we started into that thing, and it was the most miserable thing we ever did. We hated to go to the meetings about it. We hated the process. It was dead. It was just dry. It was no heart to it. And yet we went through it, and we then proposed the project, and we went to the bank, and we had all our ducks in a row, and in the fall of 2007, it was down to where I had to sign one more piece of paper. Trustees and I were all go on it in our minds. And I'm not sure what everybody was feeling in their heart. I know what the staff was going through. And there it was. Either we sign this or we don't. And I was really being taxed by the Spirit of God, I felt. It was just a heavy thing. And I really got down to it and listened to the Lord. And as embarrassing as it was for me, and as even for some of the leaders probably, the Lord said, don't do it. Don't do it. And I remember coming before the congregation and just feeling like a fool and saying, you know, the Spirit of the Lord warned me that this is not the way that God, I don't remember the words I used, but that was the gist of it. And my goodness, the relief that I felt, the relief that so many people felt, and we were able then to renovate the whole facilities with cash we had and not borrow money. And you know what happened in 2008? It tanked. For nearly a decade, the economy was in the pits. And I am so thankful that we weren't saddled with a $6 million building that really ultimately did not meet our needs. My will was, I want to just push through because, you know, you read stories and we were nervous and we were not feeling good about it, but we pushed through by faith. Let me just tell you, presumption looks like faith when there's fear involved. God does not have to honor presumption. Presumption is my will pretending that it's faith. Faith feels a whole lot different. It acknowledges facts, but it says they don't matter. But when God says, you better woe up, you better woe up. Going on past that point is not faith. It is presumption, and presumption will get you in trouble every stinking time. So listen to your heart. Make sure you've got the wherewithal in your spirit to go forward, and you'll be glad you did. It's wise to consider obvious obstacles. It's wise to consider workarounds. Sometimes it's not the whole thing that's wrong, it's the way you're going about it. Maybe God has some wisdom that you should look at. Maybe you should get your counsel together, people that understand your situation, and say, is God saying no, or is God saying not this way? Is it something that the Lord's giving us some wisdom or a word of direction that he'll honor? Is this obstacle something that can't be overcome, or is it something that God is leading you to, so like a Goliath in your life, so that you can conquer this thing, so that it'll build faith and excitement and enthusiasm and a dream and everybody else around? Maybe that's what it is, but always know if you're supposed to take on this Goliath, Or if you're supposed to wait and fight another day. The will of God is the goal here, remember. And so it's okay if you stop, take a look, take your time at this phase if necessary. A lot of people feel like God spoke to me and I got to do it right now or he's going to punish me. No. No. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You don't need to go ahead. Stop where you're at. It may be a green light, but make sure it's a green light. It could be a red light. If it's a red light, you sure as the world want to put the emergency brake on. It may be a yellow light that says caution. The facts aren't in yet. The timing is not right yet. There's a formula. If I ever had a formula for divine guidance, it's this. Bob Mumford was a favorite teacher of mine back in the day. He wrote a book, Take Another Look at Guidance. And in this book, he talks about a time when he was in the Navy, World War II. And there was a harbor in France that had been captured by the Allies. And it was a submarine pen and so forth for the Nazis during World War II. But to get in there, there was a terribly narrow neck that unless you had the exact heading, you couldn't get through it. And so they had constructed something that helped the ships to make a safe entrance. And there was a light on the shore. There was a buoy mid-harbor. And there was another lighted buoy out to sea. And to make entrance to that harbor, you had to put your boat where those three lights became one. And you had to proceed into that harbor on that heading or you would definitely go on the rocks. And he said, this is what the Lord, I believe, showed me. He said, that light on the shore is the word of God. It's unchangeable. He said, that light in mid-harbor is like the witness in your spirit. And that third light out to sea is like circumstance. You need the three of those things to line up. What God has said, what you know to be true in your spirit, and the circumstances that will allow you to move forward. These three things need to be in sync before you move ahead. I believe that's true. I believe that's true. And I will encourage you to have the courage to wait until things are coming together like that. Don't let pride or super spirituality override the level of a quiet sense of assurance that God gives. Don't run ahead of God or try to replicate anyone else's story. This is your story that God is giving you. Make sure you understand what the story is to be. And until you do, you're not obligated to go forward. Because it's too easy, folks, to hear a little bit and to assume a whole lot. Make sure. Trust the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Would you stand? Next week, we will begin one of my favorite parts of this discussion, and that's the whole discernment thing. What's going on inside you? God gives discernment among spirits. The spirit of the enemy, the spirit of your own personhood, and the spirit of God. How do we know? How do we know what it is? How do we gauge how to respond to it? That's what we're going to be talking about for the next couple of weeks. To me, it's how you walk in the spirit. It's what you're really going through when you're listening to God on a daily basis. It's how you begin to know and how you begin to discern His voice and so forth. And it's key. It's key to what we talked about tonight, and it's key to those moments when you don't even have time to think. You can just respond. That's cool. We want to know that. Why don't we lift our hands to Him tonight? And why don't we start by doing what we talked about initially? Ask Him for wisdom. Father, we come tonight full of faith that you will give us the wisdom that we need for the situation in front of us. We ask for it. We thank you that you've offered to give it and promised that you'd give it if we ask in faith. So we come, not doubting, for he who doubts will receive nothing. But we believe you cannot lie, and you will give us the wisdom that we need for the next steps. So, Father, I thank you tonight for open hearts. I thank you for your promises. I thank you for your desire to lead us and guide us like you have promised. It's a great adventure. There's nothing like it on earth. And we thank you that you've brought it to earth just for us. So we bless you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.